David, for the prayer. I'm really more accustomed of being sitting down there than I am being up here. I would rather listen to a lesson than give one. But for a few years, have been on my mind the realm and the work that the angels, the holy angels of God, have, how they are involved in accomplishing and carrying out God's divine plans and purposes. Especially as it's been so since my dear wife Maxine passed on about over 4 years ago. And I find that I was really, even though she wasn't physically there, and it's different than, you know, living with someone for another 50 years and then they're gone, but I'm sure she has gone on to her reward. But the angel or the Lord counterbalanced that loss by these scriptures, you know, that I will be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so they've been a blessing to me in this thinking about these holy angels of God and the part they play in our lives. And so the scripture, Psalms 32:7, one that you're all familiar with, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear or reverence him, and he delivers them. And another one, Psalms 91:11-12. He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee or to guard thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You remember who quoted that scripture? And it was the devil, Satan, when our Lord came out of the wilderness. So he's familiar with the scriptures of God also, the unholy angels. Well, the Lord's people have entered an interesting journey. And this journey, this path that they are on, leads to the heavenly courts. This journey started, our individual journey started when we committed our wills to the will of the Lord. We said, "Thy will be done, O Lord, in our lives. Not our will, thy will be done." This pathway is the one that our Lord walked in. And if we follow his steps, it will lead us into the heavenly kingdom. And so he says to us, "Follow me." But there may arise the question, if we walk in this pathway, will we have enough strength and courage to continue doing the Lord's will to the best of our ability, becoming more and more Christ-like, becoming more circumspect in our lives? Will we have enough faith to carry us even though the vision tarry? we know that it will not tarry, though it may seem to tarry. Habakkuk 2:3. Well, we have enough love to cope with the many oppositions we encounter along the way, and will we be able to triumph over them? So, what it really boils or comes down to is this. Are we going to have enough strength and faith for the struggle involved in making our calling and election sure? There are many times, I'm sure, that come to us when we feel that we feel a sense of weakness, and that's the human weakness in us. We feel like sometimes we're inadequate to carry out the Lord's will for us. So we become concerned about various things, and questions may arise. Things that really touch us and involve us in so many ways, we seem to be concerned about them many times. The endurance of trials and difficulties they're easy to talk about. You know, when we come together and when we know that a brother or sister is having a trial and going through difficult times, that we talk about them in our testimonies. But we feel sorry for them, and we say, well, the Lord bless you. The Lord will provide. And then we kind of pass it over. But, you know, when it really comes to us, when it hits, when we have a difficulty, when something hits us all of a sudden, a problem, a distress, a trial, it really becomes a difference. Our attitudes change then. And we can go back and say, dear brother, dear sister, I can really understand now what you have gone through, what you were faced with, and how you endured, because I'm having the same trial and problem now. You see how that works? We need to be more sympathetic and understanding with our brethren who are going through trials and difficulties. We are trying to encourage them and keep in contact with them, and scriptures that come to our mind from the Bible, beautiful scriptures that will help them. We are to be sympathetic priests. So what happens when this pathway suddenly becomes more rough and steep and lonely than we ever thought it may be? And when it seems like there are not many who really care about what's happening to us, it is then that our loving Heavenly Father sends to us a delivering angel. This angel is on a special assignment from the Heavenly Father, on a mission of love to us, a message that will encourage us. A message of assurance that the Father loves us and wants to help us. He has not forsaken us, but is testing our faith. Did we really mean when we said, "Thy will be done in me"? Our faith is on trial, and we are always reminded that he will never give us a trial more than we are able to endure, but will always help us and guide us through our difficult times. Many other servants of God who have had severe moments and mental anguish, such as we have on different occasions. You remember that great man of God, Elijah, a rugged, strong person. He was determined to turn the hearts of the people away from the worship of Baal and Asherah back to the worship of Jehovah. He arranged, you remember, to have all the false prophets killed, slain. And there were about a total of 850 of them between Baal and the Asherah prophets. And these prophets were in the Jezebel, who was the wife of Ahab, the king at that time, was supporting all of those false prophets. And when she found out that Elijah arranged to have all these prophets killed, she was going to turn the tables, and she was going to take the life of Elijah. And so, in that aspect, his life was in danger. And you remember what he did? He became very fearful, actually, and he ran away, didn't he? He went out into the wilderness, a day's journey, and there he spent the night under a juniper tree. He was very discouraged. And so we read in 1 Kings 19:4 that he said, "It is enough, Lord. I've had enough of it. I can't take it anymore. The trial is too much for me. Take my life." That's what he said to the Lord. Well, do you think that was an easy thing for him to come to a conclusion? Elijah needed help, and a delivering angel was sent to him. And he touched Elijah and said, "Arise and eat." The angel of the Lord came the second time, as you read in the account, and touched him. And he arose and he did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. What's the picture we see there? Who does Elijah represent? He represents the church, the gospel age church, the Christ, head and body, in this gospel age, walking, destination, the Mount of God, the heavenly kingdom. Jeremiah was another wonderful prophet and servant of God. And he suffered very much also in faithfully proclaiming the word of the Lord. His life was often in danger from the political and the religious leaders of Israel on account of his messages. He told them of the great trouble that God would bring upon their nation, the nation of Israel, if they did not reform from their wicked ways. But he also had a wonderful message for those who trusted in God. But Jeremiah, over the course of years, and he was a prophet for about 40 years, became very discouraged and was thinking about turning in his resignation to God as a prophet. We find this in Jeremiah chapter 20, and in verses 14 and 18. And he said, "Cursed be the day I was born to see trouble and sorrow, and to end my days with shame. But God provided comfort and encouragement through, no doubt, an angel that was sent to him. And he faithfully continued to the proclamations of the Lord, the word of God." And then we go into Lamentations. You know, Jeremiah was also the author of Lamentations. We read there in the chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." See the wonderful condition of his heart, and his faith had been reestablished. Then there was our dear Apostle Paul, the day that it happened to him. That thorn in the flesh was making things difficult for him. It was interfering with his ministry. Three times he went to the Lord asking for relief. But it looked as if the Lord didn't care. He didn't, as it were, take away the condition. The thorn in the flesh, we believe, was his eyesight. He did not remove the difficulty, but we'll talk about that a little later. So therefore, it's not surprising that we, like Paul and the others of God's great people, have similar experiences. When we are faced with a trial, where will our help come from? Do we look to self? Do we have the wisdom, the power within ourselves to handle all of our problems, come what may? Is this the way our Heavenly Father wants us to handle these difficulties, these trials, these discouragements that come our way? Or does He have a better way? Yes, our Heavenly Father does have a better way. He provides strength from above through the ministry of His holy angels. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" The blessings that come from the heavenly sources are so wonderful, so great. The strength that comes from above, from our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, is emphasized over and over in the Bible and in our studies. The word angel that we are talking about, and which I'm sure we do appreciate knowing about, are really messengers. It's from Strong's number 32, from Angelo, which means to deliver a message. The messengers we are talking about are the holy angels, the messengers sent by God. Just think how great are these servants of God, as we mentioned before. We are told that they always behold the face of the Father. They come and go, always having access to the Father. And it's interesting, if you turn to Revelation 5:11, that's that throne scene, starts to chapter 4, chapter 5, on. It tells us that the number of these angels that were in the throne scene was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands upon thousands. So you can see the vast, the number of angels that the Lord has and is using in carrying out his great and wonderful plans and purposes for mankind, and not only for mankind, but also for the angels. And I was just thinking, it was the Apostle Paul who could realize that there were different orders of these angels. He uses the words seraphim, cherubim, principalities, powers. And so therefore, just think of this vast number of angels that the Lord uses in carrying out all of his plans. Well, these holy angels have brought us wonderful blessings, all the servants of God, the true servants of God, the faithful servants of God. God has been blessed by their messages, by their service. To Elijah, as we mentioned before, appeared a delivering angel, a messenger sent by God in his distress to strengthen him so that he could continue on. And so with Paul, at the end of his struggle with that thorn in the flesh, the Heavenly Father showed that he did care about that dear Paul. But he wanted to teach a lesson to Paul and make him to realize. And so the voice came from heaven, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12:9, NIV. This assurance was enough for the great Apostle Paul, and for the rest of his life he was strong. He trusted in the Lord, and he rejoiced in the Lord in his service, because God's grace was sufficient for him in every time of need. And so it should be with us. What a great lesson that is for us. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry, when he went into the wilderness and there to commune with God, he was tempted by the devil, as we said. And the devil tried so hard to turn his affections away from his dear Heavenly Father. But the Lord resisted these temptations very valiantly. He did not submit to the tempter's snare. It was at the end of our Lord's ministry in Gethsemane that Peter drew his sword to defend the Lord from the gang that came to arrest him. Our Lord told him to put the sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Our Lord said, do you think I cannot call upon my Heavenly Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Now, a legion normally consists of about 1,000, so that would be 12,000. That's in Matthew 26, 52-53. our Lord was well aware of the power of God that was working for him, and especially in his time of need. And so it is with us. In time of special need, there comes mercy from heaven through a delivering angel. Sometimes we're not aware of this, but our Heavenly Father sees that we have need. He will supply our need. We also are reminded that when our Lord told Peter to put away the sword, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our weapons are not carnal. They are spiritual. They are mighty through the saving power of God. We know that in this age that we live, we call up on our faith in the Word of God. He no longer sends angels who materialize, but yet they will keep a constant contact and watch care over us. The Lord's people, we know, are very precious to the Heavenly Father. He loves each one who has come to him in sincerity and truth. He loves them very much. And he wants to make sure that each one is not going to be overwhelmed in any particular way. And so often times, the strengthening angel comes without our realization because we do not see him. We don't hear him talking to us. But many times the angel we receive comes right here, right from the Word of God, the message of God. There are many scriptures that bring us comforting messages, isn't it? Like the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's just one example. There are many others. So, perhaps each of us remember times when we had a sense when we were thought were very unworthy, and this thought may have really been on our mind and was distracting us. Even so far that it made you feel that you weren't worthy, that you really didn't consider yourself a good Christian. And so what do we do in cases like that? We should get down on our knees and go pray to the Heavenly Father, as our Lord said, maybe in secret, by yourself, and ask the Heavenly Father for forgiveness and for his help. Then we have the scriptures that tell us in many ways, especially that comforting scripture, 1 John 2, that we have an advocate with the Father if we sin, if we become weak. And he will intercede for us and plead our case to the Heavenly Father. He also says if anyone does not, says that he is without sin or doesn't make a mistake, we are talking about the fact that the new creature does, it's not talking about the new creature because we know that the new creature, it does not sin. But we have this new creature in an earthly body. And Paul says there's a warfare going on all the time. And he also says that we have to put off the old nature and put on the new creature. There's that putting off and putting on, isn't it? And so, another beautiful scripture, Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. These messages come to us through a delivering angel, a strengthening angel. And too often we are prone to ignore the scriptures, and in so doing, we ignore help from the Lord. We are admonished to study His Word carefully and prayerfully because He has given it to us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway, the psalmist tells us in 119:105. And then Paul commended the Berean Bible students for their devotion to God's Word. In Acts 17:11, it says, they received the Word with readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. We have been so richly blessed by through the knowledge of God. I have what, till 8 o'clock? Huh? I better. Remember when Nathanael was called to follow the Master? The promise was made to him, as recorded in John 1:51. Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We remember Jacob's dream, recorded in Genesis 28:12, when Jacob reclined for the night on a very soft pillow. It was a rock, you remember. And he saw a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached up to heaven. And he beheld the angels of God ascending and descending on this ladder. Well, our Lord is truly that ladder, isn't he? He is that ladder. It was he who has enabled us to have communication between heaven and ourselves here on earth. It is on this ladder that the divine favor of God has gone up and down. The Lord sends his angels, his associates, his helpers. We are beneficiaries of his love, mercy, and forgiveness through these angels. Angels of peace, angels of fortitude, on this same ladder, messages are also returned to the Heavenly Father. They have immediate access to the face of the Father. We send our prayers of thanks and appreciation to our Heavenly Father through Jesus, the ladder, and through these angels. We are also not to overlook, I'm going to cut this short, that each one of us is an angel of God. We have messages for our brethren, don't we? Messages of comfort and encouragement. And we are to try to help one another always. We remember the Lord was, when he was about to finish his earthly career, there were very few of the human family who could be of some real help to him. It wasn't because they didn't try. They did try very hard to please the Lord, but there was something he needed that he wasn't receiving. And so there was that dear Mary of Bethany was the one that could be used in a very special way. She had great love and devotion for the Master. She could see that beautiful heart in our Lord, so to speak, his character. And the Lord's mind was filled with thoughts of the crucifixion at that time. You know, it was only five days away. And he realized that none could really understand what he was going through and to enter into his feelings. But Mary opened up her beautiful, expensive alabaster box that contained that precious ointment, and she anointed his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. Our Lord, that's just what he needed. He was refreshed by it. This was so encouraging to him, and he no doubt felt that this was really from his Heavenly Father. So, sometime the strengthening angel that comes to us is none other than the Lord himself. But he is the one, he was always there. You remember he came to his disciples on the stormy sea of Galilee, and they didn't recognize it. Then they said, "It's the Lord." But he assured them, he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I." And then he gave them that wonderful message of comfort and encouragement. Our loving Heavenly Father will always send a delivering angel in every time of need. The delivering angel will come at just the right time. Won't be too early, won't be too late. So let us look for these angels. Let us look for, first of all, to our Heavenly Father's message. Let us be refreshed by those beautiful words, those wonderful words of life that came from the lips of our blessed Lord and Master. And may we also be angels of comfort to the brethren. Remember, Elisha prayed. Sometimes we do not really get the message, the word that God is speaking to us. And so as Elisha prayed for his young servant, he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And his eyes were open. The delivering angels he saw provided the protection and the comfort from the Assyrian army that was about to overtake the Israelites there at Dothan. It has been said, and I like the thought, that is from a reprint article, number 5633, that, that's my vote. While we may not be too positive in our interpretation of the subject, we understand that each one of the Lord's people, in proportion as he is one of God's true children, has a ministering spirit, a person, an angel, who has charge of his affairs. This angel makes his report to the Lord, whether monthly, weekly, hourly, we do not know. My case is probably very frequently. If God sees this to be the wise, proper course, we have every confidence in his wisdom. Whatever God has arranged is fully satisfactory to us in this matter, and we are sure that it is quite right and fully in harmony with the divine character. And I'd like to read from our little comment from our manna text this morning. The last paragraph, the manna text, remember, was, "Behold the Lamb of God." Let us remember that following Jesus, in the best sense, means that we walk in his paths, strive to do as nearly as we are able what he would do today, taking our lessons from what he did and said, and personally, and from the instructions which he has left for us through the apostles, respecting the path of fellowship in his sufferings, the path to glory and joint heirship with his kingdom. May the Lord add his blessing. And I would like to say in closing, our brethren from Spokane sends their love to this convention.